Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer, who's not going to say anything about the introduction because no one has yet submitted a alternative. So let's go on to the question.
It's bizarre to me. It appears that, am I wrong? Because, you know, even on episode 500, Todd was like, we need it. I mean, you've had 500 episodes of the same claptrap and you haven't changed it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People love it.
It appears so. I think people love it because they love to not do what I say. And I think that's church planners. Church planners have a rebellious, haughty spirit. And, and I've been holding out. I haven't said anything, but now it's time to call it what it is. It's sin.
Oh, man. Yeah, I am 100% on board with changing the music and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just... It's so catchy. Yeah.
The people have spoken.
Yeah. And it's not like our downloads are going down. They continue to go up. So, yeah.
Yep. I think I've learned my lesson. The people want consistency and they don't care about my opinion.
That is incredible.
Okay. I received that.
All right. So let's get into the question. And this is a multifaceted question, which we probably won't have enough time in this episode to dig down deep into all the categories. But let's at least get started. Here it is. How during the socioeconomic or social slash economic crisis that we are in, and I think he's referring to the pandemic and the economic effects.
Is there a crisis going on? Who knew?
Right. Yeah. Not crisis, pandemic. The question is, what's changed or how do we raise support during this time? How do we plant churches? What kind of evangelistic practices should change or ought to change during this pandemic? So why don't we start with the support raising side of things?
Seven questions.
Let's start with the raising support side and maybe move on from there.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, support raising has been hit and it's been hit at multiple levels. The typical church, we're seeing 10, 15% budget reset, and you know, every budget you made in January is now irrelevant. Yeah. And so some are reevaluating this. Some mission agencies, church planning organizations, are not adding new church planters right now. They're actually trying to focus on keeping their existing church planters in funded positions and continue the funding for them. And then you've got, simultaneously, people are unsure about their own finances. Here's what I would say. If you'd asked me that question in May, I would answer differently than in June or July. Hmm. If you're listening, this is, I'm talking about 2020. If you're listening this years from now, in a, you know, in some archaeologist or anthropologist bunker. Because I think partly what we've seen is there's been somewhat of a stabilization, and most of the economic hit have been people who probably weren't bigger supporters, which again is we shouldn't say that people couldn't and wouldn't support, but most of the economic downturn has been, like, you know, almost all crises disproportionately hit the poor.
Yeah.
And, you know, those sort of already struggling, you know, on making ends meet. So what we found is that a lot of people in white collar roles have not seen a stunning decline, and some higher paying blue collar roles. And that's probably where most of the fundraising comes from. So I think what I wouldn't have want to ask people in May, I actually think you can ask people in June and July and beyond, and that's to support you. I think that there's a boldness that the Lord would honor during this time where you can say, hey, I really do need some help to do this. We believe God's called us to do this. And to step into that, I think is a good and God-honoring timing. So to me, I would fundraise as I would fundraise in normal times, with the exception of a higher sense of urgency. I would tell people, you know, I've actually upped our fundraising at the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. And I've said to people, I believe that God has given us a unique opportunity right now to seize, and I want to seize this opportunity. And I think that kind of conversation is both appropriate and helpful at this time. You know, don't waste the crisis. Seize the urgency of the moment. And I think ultimately that will provide an opportunity for fundraising that maybe even wasn't there before. The challenging place will be, I think churches are still unsure. And so church-based fundraising may be a little less likely, where personal fundraising may be more more opportune.
Yeah, yeah. No, those are really good points. And honestly, I think it's the fact that regardless of crisis or pandemic or whatever it is, the fact is we are still called to go and make disciples of all nations. We're still called to reach the lost and to see, be a part of God's kingdom, being more present, manifestly present here on earth as it is in heaven. So in light of that, when you are support raising, yeah, I wouldn't shy away from that because, like Ed said, not every socioeconomic level was hit in the same way. But having said that, I would really make sure that laser focus, your vision is first and foremost. Instead of talking about, let's say, your personal need, or I mean, obviously be honest about that, but really talk about the gospel opportunity and share stories in and around that. For us at our church, our giving has taken a hit, and being in Alberta, our economy is so driven by oil. So not only was there the pandemic, but there's also the global oil, the mess that was going on in and around that too. So for us here in Alberta, knowing that we're going into our new budget year, and our budget's July to June. So we're about to just start our new budget year into a deficit. We're planning on a deficit year. And I praise Jesus for the faithfulness of our board to have reserves so that we can sustain a deficit type of year. But having said that, we've actually shifted the way that we are doing our budget, but we're not cutting ministry across the board. We're actually wanting to move forward, but the way that we are budgeting, the way that we are planning, it's going to look different. So just because you're in a deficit, and just because other people might be like, well, I don't know how long this economic impact is going to last or what that means, it doesn't mean that our mission to move forward stops or pauses in any way. We just need to pivot the way that we go about it.
Yeah, I think the question I think most people are having is, particularly churches, is our church plant sort of a optional accessory, or is it fundamentally core to our mission? And I'm not a subtle man. I think you need to go all in and say, we believe that God has called us to be engaged and involved. We don't believe it's time to step back. And so I think that's where the vision needs to be cast, is that, you know, church planting is not a luxury for a few churches that have this as a side avocation. It's central to the mission of God, the multiplication of churches in our time and in our place. So, yeah, so I think that's the approach that I would take. So, I'm calling for boldness, but I'm also calling for recognition that you're may with churches, there's still enough uncertainty. You may be a little bit more in an uphill battle. But I think to say, hey, listen, I want to ask you to step out on faith. I want to ask you to see this as you know, a faith commitment that we're trusting the Lord in. And I think people will respond. Here's what I found. I'm actually in the last 6 months. I have to raise funds. I run a center. We have raised more funds in the last 6 months, 4 months, than we have in the last 4 years. So. Wow. I do think that this is a good time to ask people. Now, also too, I'm also discerning enough to ask people who's, you know, some people, a down economy, I think most people know this, a down economy is really good to some organizations. So, you know, I mean, we know this because we think of like Amazon. Okay, this has been really good for Amazon. Mm-hmm. Well, the crisis has been really good for Amazon. And it's not just that. So I have approached people who I know have done well in the downturn. And I think they say that they see that they may want a responsibility to be a steward, that I have some to give in this time.
Yeah, no, I love that point. I love that. So as it relates to planting new churches then during this pandemic, what advice would you give a planter who, I mean, they've been waiting and they're, I mean, it's July as of when this episode releases. And it's like, hey, I have been planning for the last year to launch in September. Do I still launch in September?
I do. I think so. In almost every place, you can launch in September. And it may be a second wave. And if a second wave comes, it may be, you know, we don't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. But, you know, it could be late in the year if it follows the pattern of the flu. So if you can get a space and launch this fall, and because here's the thing, it's large churches that are in trouble right now, because I was on a call with about 10, 15 megachurch pastors, and they're like, we don't know what to do. I mean, it's right now in some states it's 250, in some states it's 100, in a few states it's 10, and and moving to 50 probably soon. But they're like, so what do we do? 50 is a meaningless statistic at Moody Church, where I just finished up that interim, because, we have a 3,750 seat sanctuary. So what does that mean for 50? I mean, we can put 50 people and they can't see each other in the room. So right now, man, if you're a church plant, what a great opportunity to be nimble, to reach out to, you might even say, some core teams. And I know that I say this, it sounds heretical, but I really love Rick Warren sent out a letter to his people saying, we're not meeting for a while. And basically, he said to his staff, if they want to go, people want to go to churches of 50, we're for them. And I think that's the great attitude, is that, if this right now, I mean, you might be able to take a core team, a launch team, kind of a you remember we wrote about in Planting Missional Churches, you and I did together, a SWAT team, special, willing, and temporary. Well, there's a whole lot of people that might be going to large churches. It might take 6 months with you to help you launch this church. And what a great opportunity the Lord could use while large churches can't meet for new churches to get planted.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. So at the time of this recording, we're June 15. Okay, so we're a few weeks ahead. This last week, believe it or not, Alberta went to stage two, which meant, and this was the thing that shocked everyone here in Alberta, where they said there's no attendance cap on churches anymore.
Oh, wow.
They went from 50 to nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's what people are finding, right? I talked to Brian Broderson at Calvary Chapel.
Yeah.
And they have some caps. They're using different rooms in their facility. But people aren't, and that's a very large church, thousands and thousands of people in a large church. People are not flooding back.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's because they left the faith or they're not engaged, whatever. I think because people are still unsure. What does it mean? I mean, I went to Wisconsin. We didn't even stay overnight, but we just got in the car. The Donna and the girls were like, we got to get out. So we drove up to Racine, Wisconsin, because we knew Racine, Wisconsin was open and Chicago's not. So, or Illinois is not. So we get there and we get out to go walk the beach. And, there's like thousands of people without masks. and we're like, I'm going to go back into the car. Mm. I mean, it was overwhelming, and I think it might have been Memorial Day. I don't remember the exact day. So what I would say is, so for us, we've been in lockdown. We're thinking that way. We see people. We're making sure they're 6 feet apart. And I know some people are listening to this in Kentucky, and they're totally not at all. They're like, what are you talking about? I went to a funeral last week at the time of this recording in Kentucky, and there were 100 people at the funeral because that's their limit. And my family was the only one wearing masks. I tell you, if you're in a place where people have gotten used to that, like I am, it was a little jarring, and it'll be a little jarring in church as well. So it's going to be different in different places. So like your church is a large church. It's not going to rush back to meeting. But again, here's what I want to say. What an opportunity for the church planners listening right here. Even in some churches, I teach at a church that has five or six sites. I think we just added one. So I'm tentative on the number. But our sites can actually start meeting based on their size before our broadcast campus can. So it's tricky.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, let's tackle the evangelism one in the next episode. So we'll make this a kind of a part one, part two thing. All right, thanks again for listening in. And be sure to send your questions in to newchurches.com. If you're on a website, on your computer, just hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And we'd love to answer your questions like the one that was submitted in for today. All right, thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time.